Again, does anyone have something? I always want to make space. Good. I love this.
Hi. God has been just speaking so loudly to me today, and it's so beautiful, and I just have to say thank you for loving Hawkins Cheesies, and thank you for inviting us to do the gift game with Sheila, because that was my opportunity to get to meet her and to interact with her. And, you know, this brings me to a place where my dad isn't the healthiest right now, but he is a strong believer. And, you know, as hard as it is to imagine him not being here anymore, I know that he knows where he's going, and I know where he's going. And it just brings this newfound peace over me when, you know, like 6 months ago, I thought about if anything ever happened to my dad, it would ruin me. Like, it really, I would be done. But now I don't have that darkness and that death inside me. I have life and hope and love and faith in God. And, you know, that my dad, whenever that happens, he's with God, and that's where he wants to be, and I'm just so grateful. Praise God.
My name is Carrie. Maybe you don't know me. The word this morning is it's joy. This is Advent, and the theme this Sunday is joy. And I'm sure some of you even heard what happened in Australia this morning or last night. We can have joy in the midst, in and through all suffering. What we've heard today, death, what you're going through right now, maybe in your family, maybe your kids have wandered away from the Lord. Maybe you're those in your family who have also walked away from the Lord. There are things that burden you. There are anxieties. There's fear. We lost a dear soul in Fernie just a week, the first Sunday of Advent, a sweetheart who was the angel of the church. She's the singing angel. She's a sweetheart. And how do you find joy in that? She was the only light in her family, the same. The word is Holy Spirit will give you that joy. We're not happy. We're not happy when we hear these things, but you can still have a deep-seated, deep-rooted joy that Holy Spirit can give. So we need to set our own thoughts, worries, fears, anxieties, grief kind of on the shelf and spend time with Holy Spirit and allow Him to give us that joy in the midst of, in and through what's grieving us, what's maybe things that are fully consuming your mind right now with regards to your family, maybe a neighbor, whatever it is. I know this word is for some of you out here today. Spend time today. Stop everything. Stop all the frenzy of Christmas. Just stop. That's what God is saying right now. Just stop. And take time to allow Holy Spirit to control your mind fully and your heart, the heart that's grieving, the heart that's troubled. And listen, because He wants to, through His power and His strength and His might, take over. Let go and let Him do it. Let Him have your mind. Let Him have your heart. Let Him fully engulf you. And then your own thoughts, your own cares and concerns will literally just drop off. That's what he's saying to us today. So we can have that joy, but it's supernatural. It's not anything natural or human to have joy when these things are happening, whatever is consuming your mind. So allow him, but it means stopping. Yeah, can I pray into that? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all the ways that you speak to us, Lord. Thank you that if we spend time with you and allow Holy Spirit to control us in every way, that we can have the supernatural strength and power to overcome even chronic illness. We can have joy in spite of it all. We can have a deep-seated, deep-rooted joy the more we trust and depend on you and allow you to take all our cares and sorrows and burdens, our health. We allow you, in Jesus' name, continue to do the work, Lord, in this service today, Jesus. And throughout the day today, may we find ourselves prostrate on the floor or on our knees, just with a mind and a heart to listen to what you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good. There's like, sometimes you don't need to say anything. So, amen. Thank you for those words. We honor you. We praise you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Kids, why don't you come up so we can bless you, so we can pray for you before you go off to Sunday school. From the same corner, two blessed families. Come on, Gabby, let's go. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for our children. Thank you that you are speaking to them, even right now, in the same way that you're speaking to us. We praise you that they can learn from you in a way that transforms them and that there's something new that you want to do today. Would you bless them with your presence and bless the teachers with your presence? We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Oh, that was a false start. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So good. Today, as I get all set up, why don't you turn to Luke 2? While I'm getting set up, you can get set up. Luke 2. What's really cool sometimes, I gave Hannah a look on the stage up here. The Lord speaks, and we didn't orchestrate anything, but during pre-service prayer this morning, I literally said, and verbatim, I said, the Lord just says, stop. Just stop. And that's the same word, and with the same intonation and the same connotation. So I want to invite you to lean in this morning. I want to invite you to not just hear the words that I am saying, I want you to hear what God is saying. Because very frankly, even though I think I'm pretty cool, I'm not that great. God is great, and he will speak to you. He's the one that does the transforming. We're going to continue our series. David doesn't care too much about names, but I really like names, and Jose always wants a name for our sermon. So we're going through a series. We're calling it Soundtrack of the Savior, because there's songs that are sung in the Bible over Jesus. So that is our series title, and today I'm preaching Peace on Earth. Peace on Earth. Okay, I'm not going to sing. I'm not that great. If you have ADHD or you're really tired, I'm really tired. I'm gonna rabbit trail. Okay, I promise I will get you out of here. I won't stand up here and rabbit trail too bad. There's this preacher, and he said, I can feel when you pray for me. The people who are sitting and listening. As we get up here, me and David and Virginia and all these other people, I can feel it actually when you're praying for me. There's something that happens. And I'm really tired today. I'm really distracted today. So would you pray for me while I'm bringing you the word? I promise you, it will edify me and it will edify you. Luke 2. If you, are not paying attention, you're really tired like me, here's my whole sermon in one sentence. Sermon in a sentence. Are you ready? Okay, two people were ready. By his glory, we walk in peace, and that peace rises as witness and worship. One more time, because we need to hear. By his glory, we walk in peace, and that peace rises as witness and worship. Luke 2, we're starting verse 8. Let's read together. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." That is the word. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. I like that image, wrapped snugly. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. This is the angel song. This is the birth of our Savior. This specific line, it is one verse. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Or there's a bunch of different translations. This is the one that I have. And I want to pull out two things right away. I almost want to get us onto the same page. So let me just tell you some stuff, and then we're going to dive into this story so that we can go all together. Glory and peace. Glory and peace. When I think about glory, I almost think of I do think of the angel. It's the and the lights open up and something comes down from heaven, you know, and there's something about it. I think about that, and then for some reason, maybe it's because I like, you know, World War II movies or war movies, and I think about the glorious death. I think that's a secret male fantasy where you think about bleeding out in this amazing landscape because you gave your all and you get this piece of glory. It's something that you cannot quite describe, but here, if I was going to, here's what I can do. Here's how I would describe it. Majestic, transcendent, splendid, and brilliant beauty. That moment. Majestic, transcendent, splendid, and brilliant beauty. I want you to think about glory, specifically in this context, as God's presence. Where God is, so his glory is. And there's stories in the Old Testament, specifically when God goes to be with his people in Israel, the glory of the Lord comes down. And it's his presence when he's in the temple and he pulls away. His glory leaves the temple. So this isn't all-encompassing, but for the purpose of getting us all on the same page, glory is God's presence. And then there's peace. And peace is many different things. It's not just one thing. But I want you to think about peace as synonymous with salvation. So when we are saved, when God's glorious presence comes and he invites us into that presence, we have the fullness of peace. Peace, salvation, glory, God's presence. Again, we put this little formula on because you have to do math on a Sunday morning. But it's not quite the math that I'm also bad at. This is heavenly math. And I'm going to leave these on all my slides, the top one and the bottom one. Because I think we can have two responses, actually, when it comes to fear and peace and godly presence. So the top one is what we all want to do. When we experience God's glory, his presence, then there's this godly fear, this reverence, or this awe that comes upon us. And then we experience this peace, which is our salvation. And over again, if you've been a Christian for a while, you've experienced this formula. God's presence comes. There's this, oh, wow, the oh moment. And you go, that's beautiful and magnificent. And then you once again experience this joy of being with him. But then there's this other side to it, this demonic side of it, where there's fear. Instead of the godly fear, the awe and reverence, there's this worry and anxiety that can come out of what am I going to do? And then there's a fight or flight or a freeze. I know sometimes I freeze in the face of fear, but then I think the outcome of all this is war and conflict. And this doesn't need to be shooting or stabbing or something like that. Sometimes just the war in a family is enough. Sometimes the war in a church is enough for the enemy. So keep these in your mind. Keep these in your mind. Okay, let's dive into the story. I want to start in verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Now, when we look at the symbols of dark, of night, darkness, and of light, and the sun, they're inherent for good and evil, bad and right and wrong. And I'm positive that in this dark night, these shepherds were on guard. They were guarding their flocks. Now why did they need to guard their flocks? There was something around them. There was the presence of something around them. If we look at even just logically, there was these shepherds, there was something valuable, their sheep. I don't know if there's a plural on there. But they were guarding from animals that would come to steal or kill these other animals that they were trying to protect. Or maybe the thief would come in the middle of the night and try and steal the sheep or hurt these sheep. So they had to be on guard. There was a guarding of their flocks. They were already on guard. I would submit to you this, because evil is synonymous with dark, and because I know that even though God is everywhere, there's lots of demons everywhere too. I bet you there was demons around there. With the presence of something so glorious like the Savior being born, you think that the enemy wasn't present around that time? I think they were. So they were on guard against earthly things, and then inside them they were on guard against all these things spiritually coming against them. This caused terror. How do you feel when you're on guard? What causes fear in you or worry? What are you having to protect yourself against, especially in this season? Maybe it's money troubles. December is hard for families. Not only does the heat bill go up because it's colder, but I come from Alberta, so this is like nothing. But we try and buy presents and we try and give extravagantly. So maybe you're going, I can't. I can't afford to get my kids the presents that they want. I can't afford to go visit the grandchildren this year. Maybe there's a fear in you, a lack in you, having to be on guard, and the enemy is using it in this season. Maybe it's relationship troubles. Maybe in your family there's been a split, or there's been a fight, or something has happened where you are worried. There's fear in you. How is this going to work? Seeing, my uncle at the dinner table, my dad, my mom, my sister, my brother, how is this going to work? I need to be on guard. I need to protect myself. Maybe it's not relationships for you. Maybe it's provision and not just money. Maybe you're hoping for a deal to come through. Maybe you're looking for a new car. Maybe it isn't working so well in this season. Maybe there's things coming against you and you go, I need provision and I need to make it happen. Maybe it's death or sickness. That was a word this morning. When death and sickness comes, man, worry and fear, and how is this going to work, and how is the estate and the will going to get all wrapped up? How is this going to happen? I'm worried and I'm fearful. Maybe things are just uncertain right now. I know for me, things are a little uncertain right now. So how do you react? How does this look? How does this play out for you? When we look at that formula on the top and bottom, when you get terrified, when things are around you and you're on guard against evil, because we know that this earth, there's lots of things coming to hurt us, to destroy us. How do you react? So these shepherds, they're on guard, they're guarding their flocks, and then suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And what was there? They were terrified. They were terrified. So they were already on guard, on edge, against things coming against them. And this angel appears. And this angel, I think we often get this so mixed up, and we think of, like, you know, like a kind of like a guy like me, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe a little bit more handsome, a little bit more built. And he's kind of like, I am a messenger of the Lord. I don't think so. I think an angel coming down right now, if all of a sudden one appeared up there, we'd go, oh, like, at the very least, I want to scream, but I don't, and maybe you need to wake up like me. But there's something that happens that causes them terror. It's not just, oh, that's a little much, like a, oh, that, it doesn't just wake me up. It causes fear in them. Terror in them. And what I found really interesting was this fear. It's phobos, phobias. It's the same root word. And this fear is the same thing as the fear of the Lord. So those of us who know what that means, that awe, that reverence, it's the same Greek word. So it's the same thing. They're scared. They're terrified. The shepherds who are working in the dark, who are on edge, juxtaposed with this angel and his brilliant light and his glory, God's presence with him. How do you respond when God comes down in the middle of your dark circumstances? I know for us, this isn't, I don't want pity. Please don't give me your pity. I want to be real with you. I always want to be authentic up here. We are finishing our maternity leave. We had a year of maternity leave, and Jose was making good money, so we had income coming in, and now, gone. So how did we react? Probably not so well. We didn't do so well in the first moment. We were on edge. We were on guard, and we knew this was coming, and we had talked about it. Obviously, this isn't a blind side, but I just went, how is this going to happen? And Jose and me had a discussion about how this was going to work. And we don't argue often. I wouldn't say we got into an argument, but there was fear. There's fear from Jose. There's fear from me. How am I going to provide? How is this going to work? Should we try and get a second job? Does Jose need to go back? Do we put Gabby in daycare? Like, I don't know how this is going to work. I'm on guard. I'm on edge. And it's not that God is not here in the midst of it. It's there's so much darkness around me that when God shows up, am I truly seeing it, or am I just mixing it up? Is there terror just all around me in the night and the light, and I'm getting so mixed up and so turned around, and maybe that's the word of the Lord today. Stop. Stop. Get your eyes back upon me. So to finish this, what we're going to do is we're going to trust in God. And I don't know how that's going to look. And everyone's going, how does that look practically, Danny? And I said, I just think we're going to make a go of it. And they go, what does that mean? And I go, I'm just going to trust God. And here with my family, you guys understand that. But the world, it doesn't make sense. It's a reversal. Okay, I don't want to get too far into it because I want to get into it. We misunderstand glory and peace so often. We misunderstand God's presence, and we misunderstand our salvation. The glory of God is Emmanuel, means God with us. This is the glory. And we have a literal army of angels. And I do mean a literal. It says the armies of heaven, a vast host of others. The radiance of the Lord's glory, just stupendous, amazing, fantastic, unbelievable glory. And then a baby wrapped in snuggly cloths in a manger. Now I ask you, my family, which is more glorified, gloryful? What is the glory of the Lord? Is it the angels or is it Jesus? I think the right answer is both, but how much more is God with us, the glory of the Lord? Glory is not always what we think that it should look like. It is the presence of God in the midst of our circumstances, and it's often in a way that we miss. And why is this? I think because we don't have the right eyes, because we can't quite see. And that's why I said, like, we need to pause and discern the moment, because a moment that is so amazing and wonderful, you could pass by this moment where the Savior of the whole world, the Messiah, is born today. You could be walking past that, and it would have looked like a lower room with animals around, a feeding trough, and a baby and a family. That's the glory of the Lord. In the middle of your circumstances, in the middle of your fear, in the middle of the night, there's a Savior who's come down from heaven, put on flesh, and stands in the middle of it with you. That is glory. That is the glory of the Lord. And then peace isn't always what we think it is either. So when we're thinking about all this, yes, God is with me in the middle of my circumstance. So let's put this back on me. Do I only receive peace if I have enough money in my mind? Does your circumstance need to change for you to have peace? Do you need things to be the way that you think they ought to be in order for you to feel at peace? Or can you accept it? I'll tell you this. Think about that circumstance. Holy Spirit, highlight that thing in us right now. If that needs to change, it's not about peace. It's about your own pleasure. I want this to be this way. And in order for us to truly have the mind of Jesus, to see things as it really is, our circumstances never need to change. Peace is in the middle of our circumstances. Let me read this to you. This is what happened to me this week when I was freaking out and I had fear. I phoned up my friend. If you don't have a good friend, pray. Because a good friend will sharpen you and bring you back to the word of the Lord. And he said, Danny, let me read this over you. Let me read this over you. Just receive this. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come and see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Hear this, church. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. There's something about the way that God works. A lot of times he doesn't trade our circumstances for what we want. And we often pray like that, don't we? We pray like we want things to change, and I don't think that that's wrong, but I think what God's saying in this moment is stop and discern what I'm doing in the midst of it. Peace comes in the middle of the storm, not at the end. Why? Because God's glory is here with us right now. So when terrors come, and the worry comes, when the enemy comes, or maybe just your night is dark, how are you responding? Are you responding like me? Both good and bad? Are you way better than me? Are you responding well, or are we stuck in fear? Here's a question for you. Where is your fear coming from? where is it coming from? Is it this godly fear or is it this demonic fear? And as I'm writing this sermon, I think, I have a way better question than this. Whose presence are we living in response to? Because there's things around you all the time. You have the Holy Spirit within you. If you've received Him, salvation, His presence is closer than your breath. But at the same time, the thief, Satan, demonic powers, John 10:10 is just running through my mind this whole sermon. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, have come to give life and life more abundantly. So whose presence are you living in response to? These shepherds had both and not either or. The angel literally says, do not fear. Fun fact, 365 times this is repeated-ish throughout the Bible, depending on translation. One for every day. Do not fear. Do not fear. Why does the angel say this to the shepherds? Why does he say this? There's this line right at the end of verse 14. It says, to those with whom God is pleased, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This is salvation. The peace has come. Salvation has come. The glory of God has come. And this salvation is not of man. It's not something that we can manufacture. It's not something we can attain. But it's of God. And we receive it through faith. We say, yes, I believe that you are who you say you are, Jesus. We confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. But we're never the initiators of this peace. God is. God came down. And when He sees His Son within you, He is pleased. He sees the reflection. So when we encounter the Lord, there is a fear. But He says, do not be afraid. Why don't we fear when we encounter heaven? Why don't we fear? Because the war is over. At one time, you were an enemy of God. At one time, whether that was when you were really young or not too long ago, in the case of me, there was something in the way between you and Him, and there was this thing called sin. It was my sin, my shame, my pain that made me an enemy of God. We were at war with one another. And I'll tell you this, I hated Him back in the day. Whole things have changed now. But the war is over. And it's not because I was so good. It's not because I finally realized something. It's because God decided that He would come down and wrap Himself in flesh and give me the free gift of Himself. So that every single time you walk in the dark, so that every single time you have fear, He turns this thing which was once against you for you. He's the great reversal. Everything that makes sense in your brain doesn't make sense to Him. Why? Because His ways are higher than our ways. And so this is why we don't need to be afraid. Because the war is over. We're not afraid when we counter heaven. Over and over again, God tells us, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. Have awe and reverence for me, but do not be afraid. So then why don't we fear when we encounter the enemy? Because we've already encountered heaven. It's done. It's finished. I love that sigh. We can be excited about this. We can outwardly express our praise. This is the right response. Do you remember what happens? We get His glory. Why? Not because of anything that we can do. His presence comes down. Then we go, wow, that oh moment where He finally enters into our life. We receive it. And then peace comes. And we can praise Him for it. Me and Jose, taking you back a little bit, we got in a really bad car accident. And what happened was we were going through a yellow light. Jose was driving, going through a yellow light, just hit the last second of the green. We're in the middle of the intersection, and David would know because it was in Spruce Grove, but it's a really long intersection by the McDonald's, really, really long. And there was someone else that was turning, or we were turning. Okay, I don't even remember. It happened so fast in my mind. But either way, we got hit. That's what happened. And we got hit on my side. And so, Jose doesn't know. Hits on your side. Okay, whatever. We were in an accident. I don't know. I told you I was distracted and going to rabbit trail today. That's good. So we get hit. We didn't hit them. Okay, we get hit. Jose's remembers things way better than me. So here's what happened. This is what I want to tell you about. We get hit. In that moment, my EMT training kicks in. I'm going, okay, we've been in an accident. Activate EMT mode. And everything else in my brain just, like, doesn't exist. And the only thing that happens in my brain when I go EMT mode, when crisis mode kicks in, is what needs to happen. It's like step one, step two, step three. So number one is, Jose, are you okay? And Jose's really shaken up, but she goes, yes, I am okay. So then next thing is the car okay? No, it's definitely not okay. It's written off. Are the other people okay? What do I do now? So they're okay, they're outside of the car, but it's bad enough, we have to have the police come. So police come, the ambulance comes after, and I realize, whoa, I have a pounding headache. This isn't okay. I'm really dizzy. I'm nauseous. I'm going, oh, okay, the shock is kind of wearing off. Maybe I did hit my head. Like, that makes sense to me. But it's just like, whoa, something's happening. So they go, do you want to go to the hospital? Because it's probably a concussion. I go, I don't know. I guess so. So they say, do you want to go in the ambulance? But it's going to cost you. And I say, no. It's like down the road. We'll drive. And so my mom drove me. Maybe she didn't, but my mom was there. And I love the details. Okay, so I'm sitting in the hospital. I'm waiting in the waiting room. There's two other people beside me. I'm a brand new Christian. Brand new. And my mom says, Jesus, would you heal my son? I ask that all the concussion would cease to exist. I pray that you would bring everything back to order. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Something like that. And I'm like, Mom, shut up. I don't want anyone to know. I'm like, this is weird. I don't want to be the weird guy praying in the middle of the hospital. Like, shh, stop, Mom. And then I go, oh, wait, but I don't have a headache anymore. Whoa, something happened here. Yeah. You can clap for Jesus. He miraculously healed me. And the miracles don't end there because Jose's car was a lease or a loan or something like that. And we had written it off. And it was like, we're not going to get enough money. A lot of money, Jose is telling me. A lot of money. The loan was in her name. And I remember in the midst of fear, in the midst of the accident, in the midst of everything, I remember going, God's going to come through. God's going to fix this. And she was like, well, how? How is this going to happen? And I said, I don't know. I saw the face of God when he came down in flesh and said, Danny, I will save you. And then he not only saved me, but he healed me. So I said, how much more is he able to do? How much more? And so what happened was we got exactly the amount that we needed. The insurance paid exactly amount. I think there was even some left over. So God provided. There was a miracle that happened in our lives. And it wasn't even that the circumstances became so different, at least not right away, but he was teaching me faith. He was teaching me that even in the midst of the darkness, even in the midst of all the demonic activity, God is there. And he is pleased with us when we rely on him. When his glory comes and we have awe and reverence for him, we experience his peace. What is your response? When the glorious presence of the Lord is around you, within you, how are you responding? Let me give you two different things, two different ways that the shepherds responded. The first one is evangelism. This is the response of peace, that salvation comes to us. And you go, Pastor Danny, I don't believe you. Okay, that's good. Look at that. I got my proof. For shoes, this is the armor of God. This is in Ephesians. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, the gospel, so that you will be fully prepared. And where we go, we have these shoes that spread the gospel wherever we go. Sometimes we get the wrong idea when it comes to evangelism. I think oftentimes we get the wrong idea. It says in verse 17, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all that heard the shepherd's story were astonished. So where did they go and tell? Did they go to Africa? Did they go to the Americas, get on a ship that would have been very hard? Did they go to the ends of the earth? No, they started in the village. They started where they were. They didn't go to this far-off land. And I think sometimes when we think about the good news and being evangelistic, we think about missionaries. And that is not wrong. And there's a place and a time and a person that God will send to the ends of the earth. But a lot of times, your ends of the earth starts right at your work. Starts right in your school. Starts with the people that are around you, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Go and be the ones who have shoes of peace ready for the good news to be spread. Go to those spaces and places. And then I think the other thing that we always misunderstand is, well, what do we tell them? What do I say? I don't know what to say. I think they said this: salvation has come. Peace is here. Conflict between God and man is no more. What better story to tell than to say, once I was this, and now I am this. Once I was a sinner, I was depressed and I was angry, and now I'm at peace. I have a purpose in life, and I get to stand up here and do what only I can do through His power. It's not this crazy thing that sometimes we make it out to be. It's everyday peace, everyday people speaking to ordinary, everyday people. My dad is a man of peace. He works for this car auction company, and in the whole company, they recently restructured. And his position right now is general manager. He's the general manager for the location in Edmonton. Car auction. They sell to dealers. One by one, he's phoning me every week. One by one, every general manager in the whole entire company is being fired. Let go. And the severance package isn't even that great. So he's going, what am I going to do? How is this going to work? I don't know how I'm going to make it through. This fear crept in. And then I watched him go, doesn't matter. God is with me. Who can be against me? He will provide for all of my needs. And I watched this process with my dad. So let me tell you right now, he's still employed. This is a long time ago. He's the last general manager in the whole company. He's the only one left. He recently won an award for the highest employee satisfaction. His people love him. Why? Because he loves them. Because every single day he puts on his shoes and he says, how can I bring the good news to those who are far from Jesus, or remind them of the good news for the ones who have heard? And so the people around him love him, support him, will go to bat for him. Why? Because, not because he's that great, even though he's my dad and I think he's amazing, but it's because of Jesus working through him. It is the peace of God working through an ordinary man to do extraordinary things. They've given him more work now, new jobs, titles, and he's going, Danny, I don't even want any of this. I'm almost 65. I want to retire. And I said, but God still has a purpose and a plan for your future there. That's why you're still there. In the midst of the dark night, the Savior was born, and in the midst of this dark night for my dad, he was born for such a time as this. So it doesn't matter how old you are or what you've gone through in your life, God still has a purpose and a plan, and His glorious presence and His peace will be in the midst of that. And that doesn't mean that fear doesn't creep in, that demonic fear. There's a generational thing of demonic fear in my family. My grandma, to him, I've watched him battle it his whole life. And so, that doesn't mean that the circumstances are going to change. Not necessarily. But we live out of response for what He has done. Go and be that one to spread the gospel. It's an everyday thing. The last one, we'll finish with this, is praise. The shepherds, they're shepherding their flocks. Nothing had changed when they go back. But also everything had changed. It's still night. There's still danger around the corner. You can come up, David, because I want to praise too. Everything had changed. What was once work in the darkness now is work in the light. The circumstances hadn't changed, but everything had changed. They were aware of what was truly going on. There was this they had discerned what was true. And their response was praise. Their response of glory and of praise. It's right in the last verse. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. Their response, this glory and praise, it was not because of this angelic encounter that they had. It was Jesus. And I think sometimes we can read that into the text. We can say, well, they saw the armies of heaven. Who wouldn't glorify and praise? Again, through our eyes, what is worthy of glory and praise is sometimes not worthy of glory and praise. I think they were glorifying and praising God because of this last sentence. It was just as the angel had told them. They weren't worshiping the angels. They weren't glorifying that encounter. They were glorifying the little baby that they saw in that manger. What looked like nothing to everyone else, to them, they got to see it was truly the glory of God. So we glorify and praise God, too, just like them. We bring that all back to Him. All that glory, we give it. All that honor, we give it. And we sing this song that the angels sang. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This is Gloria in Excelsis Deo. I didn't even know what that meant before. It's just words on a screen to me. What that means is glory to God in the highest. It is the very song that the angels sang. So we're going to sing that song. We sing that song. And we sing this song that the angels sing. But we have a praise that not even the angels can bring. Those with whom God has rescued, made children of His very own. We bring this redeemed praise. What I once had is it's no longer, it's been made new and transformed. This, I'm still broken at times, but I'm full of peace praise. We're being made new, and we praise, and we give Him glory for it. So Jesus, we thank You for doing what only You can do. For coming to earth in such a glorious way, You became like us so that You could sympathize with us, so that You could live a life without sin, so that You could go to the cross and die on our behalf. That is the essence of Christmas. We welcome in the Savior of the earth. So Jesus, we praise You. We give You all the glory, all the honor, all of our love, all the adoration. Oh, little baby snugly wrapped in a manger. We praise You. I pray for my people as we go this week that we would be able to discern the moment. That we would know what You are doing in the moment that You're doing it so that we can see with right eyes and respond in the right way in faith and not in fear. And I pray for protection against anything that would come against us. I pray in Jesus' name, would You keep us safe? And that doesn't mean that the fiery arrows aren't going to be shot, but it means they'll never land because they will hit our shield, which is our faith. We trust in You, we hope in You, and we praise the only name that matters. The King above all kings, the Lord above all lords, the beginning and the end. We praise the name of Jesus. We love You, God. In Your name we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. Bless you, church.